Whatever the jury at the 70th annual Cannes Film Festival decided were the films worthy of its top prizes, the festival, which concluded this past week, seemed like a cinematic scrum between the past, present, and future tenses of storytelling. Our film critic Harlan Jacobson reports from Cannes.
The real competition was over format. Theaters, which meant bomb scares, versus Netflix and streaming. And then the future came a-calling in the form of virtual reality. The stories, however, ranged from a little cracked to conventional genre fare. From wunderkind Yorgos the Lobster, Lanthimos, there was The Killing of a Sacred Deer, a vaguely voodoo biblical eye-for-an-eye family drama with Nicole Kidman and Colin Farrell as a surgeon and his wife, pursued by Bob, the teenage son of a patient who died in Farrell's care, who now demands blood sacrifice. Robin Campillo's 120 Beats Per Minute told the story of Paris ACT UP in the Mitterrand 1990s, which plays out in classic but somewhat tiresome meet-the-characters fashion. Todd Haynes' Wonderstruck toggles back and forth between New York and Gunflint, Minnesota, and three generations connected in part by deafness and in part by enormous spirit. Adapted by Brian Selznick from his novel, it's a fresh, if tame, take on Haynes' outsider characters, anchored by Julianne Moore as he switches back and forth between a little too superfly New York of the 70s and the black-and-white 1927 New York Haynes tells is a silent film, consonant with the young girl hero's deafness. Seen in four films here, Nicole Kidman leads the cast of Sofia Coppola's The Beguiled, set in Virginia in 1864. As Miss Martha, the headmistress of a girls' school, she lets a wounded Yankee, also played by Colin Farrell, into the house. Miss Martha's task is contemporary enough. She must balance the threat of an enemy in the house, assert the rules of civil society, and rein in chargers Kirsten Dunst and Elle Fanning, hothouse flowers desperate to lose their petals. Coppola won Best Director at the festival, but curiously skipped the ceremony. Her script gives more agency, that's the buzzword these days, to the women in Miss Farnsworth's schools for girls than did the original 1971 Don Siegel film, in which Clint Eastwood as the Yankee corporal was a whole lot smoother operator than Farrell. More adventurous is Ruben Ostlund's The Square. His 2014 Force Majeure about social codes buried in a ski resort avalanche showed that Ostlund, at 43, is skilled at constructing stories of drop-down social disintegration. The Square won this year's Palme d'Or. It's a complex story about a modern art museum curator mounting a show meant to underline social responsibility even as he stumbles over dating mores with art reporter Elizabeth Moss. Note to museum curators, unleashing an ape man to pop up at a gala dinner for patrons might not be a good idea. A24, the distribution company which rode the improbable Moonlight to the Oscars last year, bought the hot film at Cannes this year, Sean Baker's The Florida Project. Baker, 46, famously shot his previous film, Tangerine, about trans working girls in L.A. on an iPhone. This time, his third sex industry outsider story, Baker had a little bit more budget and shot on 35mm. It's a story set in Orlando, on its welfare motel Route 92, about a mother who resorts to turning tricks to keep her spitfire six-year-old in something resembling a happy childhood, in a lavender motel, however, managed by Willem Dafoe. And A24 brought Good Time into the main competition for a Palme. It's by the Softie brothers, Josh and Benny. It's relentlessly independent, and it's a furiously paced bank robbers on the lam story set in New York with an obvious appreciation for William Friedkin's chase sequencing. The film is a comic pairing of a wise guy brother played by Robert Pattinson in a role many felt should win Best Actor, and Benny Softie himself as his mentally challenged brother. Think of it as Criminal Rain Man with pants on fire. The New Yorkers, both Boston University grads, Josh in 07, Benny a year later, came home empty-handed prize-wise, but the film's relentless, driving narrative to escape at all costs arrived in Cannes just when the critics themselves were hot to trot, which could mean money in the bank back home when it opens this August. Finally, in an airport hangar away from all the glitz, Alejandro Iñárritu and cinematographer Emmanuel Lubezki premiered Carne y Arena, Flesh and Sand, a 6.5-minute virtual reality encounter on the U.S.-Mexican border. Barefoot in sand, the VR viewer wanders alone in the desert until coming upon a passel of immigrants, some men, a grandmother, a young girl, trekking across the frontier. That's when Border Patrol suddenly pulls up out of a gully and overhead in a helicopter, searchlights sweeping everywhere. When the agent screams, "Get down on the ground," you drop. You are there in what is meant as a political empathy moment. But just like the wishful thinking of early TV as an educational tool, the entertainment economics of this utterly convincing medium posed a compelling question. Is VR the future of commercial narrative? What kind of stories, adult film industry aside, will work? How soon? The exhibition by Iñárritu moves on to L.A. and Mexico City. Story, you see, never really goes out of style. In theater, at home, or in the desert on a horse with no name. They all duked it out at Cannes this year. And I'm Harlan Jacobson.